Have all the children stand up here so you can see them real good. Come on. That's their worst night here. Let's stand forward, guys. Go ahead. Stand up. Closer. Yes. Amen. How awkward. Amen. Don't smile now, okay? All right. It's a blessing to be here. Let me introduce the family. So this is working pretty good. Okay, so this is my wife, Maggie. This is Mark and Luke and Esther. And Ruthie, this is a rare treat to have her with us. She's usually in the nursery, but we're glad to have her with us here tonight. So we're gonna sing a little bit of Portuguese too. So if it sounds a little bit weird, that's why. Okay, you ready, guys?
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the crossing heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Quantas bênçãos, conta quantas são, recebidas da divina mão. Uma, Jesus de uma vez, as terá surpreso quanto Deus já fez. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Is that right? Good. Amen. Getting the hang of this. Okay. Well, if you will, please take your Bibles and open up your Bibles to the New Testament. We'll be looking in the book of Hebrews this evening. Hebrews got a lot of great application for us today as Christians. Thank God for the scriptures. So if you'll open up to the book of Hebrews chapter 13, we'll be in two main places and hopefully... keep things moving here. So Hebrews chapter 13... starting with verse 10. It's a beautiful sound, isn't it? Sound of pages turning, amen?
Yeah.
A lot of churches don't hear that. Okay. Hebrews 13:10, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate not, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So we're going to be looking at some spiritual sacrifice here tonight. And it's a New Testament thing, and it's pleasing to the Lord Jesus. It says in verse 15, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for this evening, this opportunity to be with your people. Thank you so much for the scriptures. Thank you for churches that focus on the preaching and teaching of the word. Thank you so much for everyone that was able to be here tonight, Lord. Thank you for the good health. Thank you for just one more opportunity to do something for you. Pray that you'll bless this service now. Lord, I ask you to please speak to the hearts of each person here, Lord. We know that some people have very serious needs, and yet sometimes we don't really know what our needs are. So we pray that you'll speak to the hearts to comfort, to encourage, maybe to rebuke some people, whatever it may be. We pray that your will would be done. You know what each heart needs, Lord. We pray that you'll please cleanse me with your blood, and pray that you'll drive out any distraction from here. Help people to be attentive and get what you have for them here tonight, Lord. I pray that you'll please use this time for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to go suffer for us, but he did it without the gate. He did it without the gate. That's a place of shame. It's a place of filthiness. It's a place of taking all the bad stuff that you don't want to have near, around you. That's where Jesus Christ suffered for our sins. Now, he didn't do that because that was a desirable place, nor did he do it because that was a place where he intended to stay for a very long period of time. It's just where he had to suffer. And the Bible says that we are called to join him, to go unto him outside the gate, bearing his reproach. Now, I want you to consider, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, or in verse 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him," definitely not talking about the cross, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set, who is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So when the Bible tells us to go unto him outside the gate, it's not that we're supposed to stay there. It's just where he wants us right now. We're pilgrims and sojourners in this life, and in the service, in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to endure and go through some things that by the world standards are very shameful. Amen. But by faith, we understand that it's the will of the Lord that we have to go through some difficulties, maybe some troubles and trials, maybe some health problems and some difficulties in life, maybe some things you didn't ask for. You have to go through some things for the honor and glory of God. A perfect example would be the Lord Jesus. He had to go suffer for us, for our sins, outside the gate. He had to suffer. He didn't do anything wrong. There was no problem there. He did it to please God. He did it to pay for our sins. Now, God asks us to walk by faith, and it goes through some difficult things because we love him. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, which ye also rejoice, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of faith, being much more precious than that of gold, being tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, though whom now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The thing is that God has some trials for our faith in this life, and that's what God has chosen. Just his desire, that's what God's chosen to please him. And that's what we as Christians need to recognize. We need to go along with that if we're going to please him. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please him. And God wants to strengthen our faith, and he also wants to examine our faith, and it pleases him when he sees us trust in him and his words in difficulty. So what we're going to look at tonight is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice, and we're going to look at why here in just a moment. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to be there for the rest of the message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We're looking at the sacrifice of thanksgiving of Jesus Christ. Had to offer a sacrifice. His was a perfect sacrifice. Ours is slightly different, but it has some similarities to it. Sacrifice of thanksgiving. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I hope some of you have this memorized. If you don't, you ought to think about memorizing this verse. It'll help you. The Bible says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So we're going to look at in just a moment why Thanksgiving is a sacrifice. The definition of thanksgiving is to express gratitude for a favor, to make acknowledgments to one for kindness bestowed. And if somebody does something nice for you, say if they send you $10 for your birthday. I know when I was 10 years old, one of my aunts would send me money, a check for my or $10 bill for my birthday, and my mom told me you need to write a thank you for that. And that was a good thing. That was a good practice. Although I wasn't saved at the time, although I didn't know much about the Bible, I was just taught it's good manners to give thanks. And folks, if for no other reason, it's good manners to give thanks. We live in a very non-thankful age. Bible says if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, one of Adam and Eve's great problems was when God gave them all this stuff, they never gave God thanks for it. And I guarantee if you can add some thankfulness in your life, it'll help you avoid a lot of problems. Amen. A lot of people are not in church tonight because they never learned to give thanks to God. They weren't willing to give the sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord. So that's the definition of thanksgiving. Lord Jesus Christ sure has been good to us, hasn't He? If Jesus never did anything more for us than just to die on the cross for our sins, that would be enough to praise Him forever and ever. I mean, just because of who He was, even if He never did that, He's still worthy of all of our praise. And look at all He's done for us. It's very important to consider that. So, sacrifice of thanksgiving. Or thanksgiving is a sacrifice. How is that? Well, if you look at the first time thanksgiving is ever used in the Bible, it's really interesting when you see how it's used, the context. It's actually in Leviticus chapter 7. We're not going to turn there for sake of time, but it had to do with a literal animal sacrifice. It was called a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, that's not the way we're supposed to do it today, thank God. It's by Jesus Christ and through Him that we offer the sacrifice. And it's acceptable to God. But back then, a person was to take a literal, physical animal and take the time to bring it to the priest in the tabernacle. It was going to get offered. It was offered in a very certain way. And it's interesting for us as Christians to make a connection there. That in God's eyes, thanksgiving is connected with a sacrifice. Sometimes it's just a matter of just saying thank you. And that means something, as long as it's from the heart. But the important thing to consider is it's supposed to be a sacrifice. Many times people say things, it's easy to say things, amen, but talk is cheap. God wants it to be from the heart. He wants it to mean something. And as long as you're sincere, and as long as you're willing to do it, be it something small, it means something to the Lord. But sometimes it's something really big, and it's hard to tell God thank you for something, which we'll look at here in a moment. But whether it's something big or something small, it means something to God, but it's connected with a sacrifice. And we're going to look at why that is. So let's look first at the first reason why thanksgiving is a sacrifice. In our text here in verse 18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So it didn't say after everything. It didn't say when we get to heaven, give thanks, which I'm sure everybody will then, amen. It didn't say when everything's going good, give thanks, or when it feels most natural to you, give thanks. It didn't say that. It says in everything, give thanks. And that's the reason why giving thanks is a sacrifice. In everything. While the trouble is going on. When you don't understand. When you're asking God for help. We're asking God to come through for you and answer your prayer. And it doesn't seem like He's answering. In everything give thanks. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. So, it may be thanking God for some way in which He did answer your prayer recently, or some other prayer. Just continuously thanking God for things that He's doing in your life. He may not have answered all your prayers or something specific that's really on your heart, but the fact that you recognize that He's doing all these other things in your life, it's really going to help you see, hey, He handled all of these things, He can handle this one too. But at the same time, you can also just take that thing, whatever it is, knowing that God is powerful and mighty and wise. He knows exactly what He's doing. His timing is always perfect. And you can say, God, although you haven't answered this yet, I want to thank you in advance because I know you will. I know you will. One way or another. God always answers our prayers, folks. The problem is, it's just not always when we want Him to. That's the key. I guarantee when every single one of us here, I hope every one of you is saved, when you all get to heaven someday, I guarantee you all be able to say, God has answered all my prayers. Amen? At that point in time, It's just that in this life, sometimes we need to show patience. So God's got a process for things. Amen. The Bible says we rejoice in tribulation. But the truth is Christians don't rejoice in tribulation. We don't rejoice like we should. Amen. You say why? Because the Bible says knowing the tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. We live in a very, not only an unthankful generation, we also live in a very impatient generation. And you find great saints in the Bible like Abraham and Hagar. God promised them a seed. Well, they said, well, it looks like he's not doing it any other way, so let's just work it out our own way. And they made a big mess. And if great saints like that, old-time people that didn't live in a McDonald's and Burger King have it your own way right away Christian generation, if they could make that mistake, well, we certainly could too. Basically, they tried to do it their own way, and so they missed out on how God was going to do it His own special way. Experience is what we need. Now, when we talk about experience, it's like, how much experience do you have doing this, or how long have you done this for? But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about experience where God did this. What has God done in your life? Can you point back to some things that God did in your life? I'm sure salvation would be one of them, right? But you know, a lot of times we do think we're so stuck on doing things our way, you know, maybe with money or through our own, you know, wisdom. We never give God a chance to come through for us and do the things that He wants to do in our lives. So we don't give God opportunities to help build our faith through things just because we're impatient. Because why should we wait on God? Well, just because you love Him, because you want to please Him, because you want to honor Him. Folks, if we could get everything we want right here and right now, that would make us happy for a little while, for a moment. But you should be looking forward to that day when you see Jesus Christ face to face. And you're going to want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And if you didn't do things the way He wanted you to do them in this life, while you had the opportunity, you're going to miss out on a lot of that you're going to wish you had when you see Him face to face. So why is Thanksgiving a sacrifice? Because of the time of Thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. I would recommend that you all you try to have a habit of doing it, not just you know, lip service, but from the heart. In the morning when you get up, start off by praising the Lord for, although you don't feel good, maybe you have a headache, you can praise the Lord for running water. You can praise the Lord for a toilet, maybe something basic. You don't have to stretch too far. God's given us so much. Maybe a water heater. You have hot running water. They don't have that in Brazil. And Brazil is a pretty modern country compared to some foreign countries. We have so much and we take it for granted. You know, carpet, you know, whatever it is, fresh clothes to put on, jump in the shower, you name it. Anything would be good to praise the Lord for. And we know we should be thankful, and many times we think, well, that's enough. I know I should be thankful, so that... No, that's not enough, and it doesn't satisfy the Lord. He wants us to take the time to tell Him. The Bible says, casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. Well, doesn't He already know what you need? Yeah, He knows, but He wants to hear you say it. Jesus Christ on the road to Emmaus. These two men were walking, and they were upset and sad about some things. And Jesus knew what they were upset about. They said, "Oh, Jesus was supposed to rise from the dead, he was supposed to deliver us, and here He's crucified, and now all hope is lost." And He said, "What are you talking about? As you walk together and are sad?" And they said, "Well, are you new around here? Didn't you hear about the things that happened?" And He said, "What things?" They wanted just to hear Him talk. He wanted them to verbalize it and get it off their chest. And I think a lot of times God knows that we recognize things and we consciously, you know, we're mindful of the fact that He gave it to us. But I think sometimes that's not enough. He wants us to come out with it and just tell Him and praise Him. He's really egotistical. You know that? He thinks He's God. He made all this stuff for His honor and glory. And when He sees us just using the things and just enjoying them, but not giving Him the credit, that just bothers Him. I think it bothers Him. And it should bother Him. Amen? So, Thanksgiving is a sacrifice because of the time. The Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. That's a good habit to get in the habit of doing that. When all else fails, if you don't know what to do, just praise the Lord. Amen? We have many reasons to do it. I'll give you an example also. Paul and Silas were in Philippi and they were preaching, and one thing led to another, and they got wound up getting beaten and thrown in jail. And that's the story of the Philippian jailer. And at midnight, they were bound. They had no idea, no hope of getting out. They didn't know what God was going to do. But in the middle of that situation, the middle of that difficult trial of their faith, I'm sure it was. Maybe not so much for the Apostle Paul. You think, well, everything came easy for him. Not necessarily. It just looked that way because of his heart, his attitude toward the Lord. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard him. And when they did that, their bonds fell off, and there was an earthquake, and the doors opened, and they were able to go free at that time. But it happened to be simultaneous with them praising the Lord in spite of the situation. It says, in everything, give thanks. The next thing is the things of thanksgiving. In our verse, it says, in everything, give thanks. Now, that means everything, folks. That means the good things and the bad things. You say, I've had people tell me, Brother Mubarry, there's some really bad things that you just can't give thanks to God for. Like, for example, what if God threw you in prison and you didn't do anything wrong? Would you give thanks to God for that? Well, I know the Apostle Paul was thrown in prison a number of different times and he didn't do anything wrong. And he said, I can see the things that have fallen out unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. So by faith, he was able to see maybe not that particular thing of me getting thrown in jail, but I can see how God's using that. By faith, he was able to see that. And he was able to praise the Lord whether he was in jail or out of jail. And that would be very difficult for somebody like Paul, but he was willing to do it. It was a sacrifice for him, just like it would be for you or me. So you see things like that and say, well, that's bad, and that's definitely, I would never wish for that. I don't want it in my life right now. And that can be, and that's totally all right. It's not a matter of mind, you know, if you think it'll change. You don't create your own reality. It's by positive thinking, like the world says. It doesn't change anything. That's a bunch of baloney. But what it is acknowledging that the things that are going on in your life come from God, the good things and the bad things, and acknowledging that. Turn your problems and your situations over to Him and praise Him in the meantime until problems get resolved. God wants us to acknowledge problems, amen. He said, casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. But He also wants us to worship Him as if that problem wasn't the end of the world. Amen? As if that problem wasn't as big as God. He doesn't change, amen. Everything in this life matters and is important, even the little things. But nothing is as important as God. And He wants us to keep that in mind, and He wants us to act like that's the case. You're a witness and a testimony to people around, whether you know it or not. Job was a witness and a testimony. And his wife, after watching the things that happened, and the things that went on, how his possessions were taken, and then his health was taken, she said, does thou still retain that integrity? Curse God and die. she couldn't understand how the shame and all this stuff does not happen to good people. But the book of Job proves that it does happen to good people. But God did it for His good. And we know by the end, looking at the end of the story, that God was trying to prove something to the devil. I can put my children through this and they'll still love me and they'll still be faithful and they'll praise me all the way through. And through that, the Lord was able to show the devil he was wrong. And He blessed Job for it as well. I'm sure right now in heaven, Job is excited and glad that he was able to be used of the Lord to give God some glory in a difficult situation. But when his wife said that to him, he said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not receive evil also? Haven't we done some things that deserve some punishments for things we've done wrong? I mean, that may not be the case, and it's not always wise to say that this bad thing is happening to me because God's punishing me. That's not always the case, but it's possible. And the Bible says God's punished us far less than our iniquities deserve. The Bible says it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. So the fact that God didn't send fire down and consume me from heaven today, that just shows God's merciful, amen? That gives me something to rejoice about right there. The Bible says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. As Christians, we have a Bible. And we believe it, some more than others, and some practice it more than others. But wherever you are in the faith, whether you're very weak or more strong, God expects you to live by this book. And what that verse I just quoted to you is saying is, God has given us promises, and sometimes the only help you're going to get in that difficulty, like God could help you anyway, but the way He chooses to help you is through that verse, through that promise, that by your faith in that verse, God's going to give you strength to get through. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But you're waiting on the Lord according to His promise, His word. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So God's going to give you a way to escape. But wouldn't it be ironic if the way to escape was right here in this book, Have you never considered opening it up and asking God for an answer or for some help? I hope you read the Bible daily. There's some people that don't. If you read through the Bible daily, you're going to be always going through there and coming across things. You're going to commit some things in memory. God can help you many ways, but sometimes it's only going to be through that promise. You say, why? Because it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. It didn't say by Jesus Christ. It didn't say by the power of God. It said by these promises. They mean something to you. And God wants you to apply them in your life during difficult times, so that you can bring Him glory. It's just an example, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So is bad things happening in your life? Yes. Have some people more than one. Sometimes a multitude of things. It's overwhelming, the bad things that are going on in your life right now. Well, you can rejoice in that, knowing, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So you focus on loving God. You show that by exercising faith and just doing the best you can to show Him that you love Him, worship Him in spite of the difficulties. Listen, folks, what does it mean more to God? When you praise Him when everything's going great in your life, or when you praise Him when everything's going rotten in your life? It's going to mean much more when things are going rotten and you praise Him anyways. That doesn't mean you understand everything. That doesn't mean you feel on the mountaintop. A lot of the times it's in spite of that, how you feel. But that's when you exercise faith. I've gotten down on my knees sometimes and I just knew that God wasn't hearing my prayer, and I knew that just it wasn't going to do any good. And I just knew I was just wasting my time, you know, in the flesh. You know, I knew, you know. But the Lord reminded me, it's like, hey, when do you need faith? When everything feels great and natural, everything just flows smoothly? Or do you need it for times like these? That's why God gave us His Word. It's written in black and white. The Bible tells me, He promises, ask and you shall receive, even if I don't feel like it. Go ahead and do it anyways because of what His Word said. Even if I don't feel like praising the Lord, well, do it anyways because He said so. Do the best you can to do it from the heart. But you don't have to wait for the perfect opportunity. Just ask God to help you. Like the man said, I believe, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The temptation of thanksgiving is in the same verse. It says, in everything give thanks. The temptation is don't give. God's taken. He wants more. Let Him do the giving. Amen. God says He loves you. He says He's all powerful. Why does He let things like this happen in your life? You've suffered enough. It's time to let Him take care of you. And people get like that. The devil is out there. He's alive and well. And the Lord actually allows the devil to tempt you, just like He allowed Him to tempt Jesus Christ. But He does it hoping and trusting that you're going to go through it the right way and rest in the Scriptures and what the promises of God tell you. He will allow the devil to deal with you in a certain way to strengthen your faith. He said that to Simon Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, Satan hath desired that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So the Lord Jesus allowed the devil to intervene and have access somewhat to Simon Peter. But the purpose of it was so that Simon Peter's strength would be strengthened through that. And he would be able to be used more of God. And that's why He allows things in your life. But it only works if you respond by faith in Him. So the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. And anything you do to give to God, it will mean something to Him. And it will be rewarded. Sacrifice, thanksgiving is a sacrifice. Getting close to the end here. The truth of thanksgiving. Look in our text. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The truth of thanksgiving. What is that? This is the will of God. It's important that you see that making the sacrifice of thanksgiving is not just one of the many things that God wants you to do. It's something specific. It's something He highlights in the Scriptures. You say, how do you know that? Well, because it says right here, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He doesn't say that in many places. And we can gather and we can surmise that any commandment that He gives us is the will of God. Amen. His directed will. He's instructing us. That's what He wants us to do. And that's true. But He doesn't often spell it out like this. Amen. There's the other place in the Bible that says this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. And wouldn't it be great if the body of Christ, took heed to that one. Amen. Folks, you don't have to be messing around with fornication, and you know, like we typically think. Just having company with people that do that kind of stuff, that take that stuff lightly. How about this? Turn on the boob tube, amen. Sooner or later, something that glorifies sin or whatever is going to come up. Maybe your kids are watching, maybe grandkids, whatever it is. And if you don't if you're not careful about that, you know what? They're being pumped full of this world's poison and stuff. It's going to give them all kinds of crazy, wild ideas. Hey, we know they're sinners already, but they don't need any encouragement. Amen. It's going to happen. That stuff's going to happen naturally. I mean, just having a sin in their heart, having wicked desires. This world is just do anything they can just to turn them into, a sinner on steroids. And folks, we do not need, any more of that. Same thing with Hollywood too. The Bible says abstain from fornication. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Keep that stuff out. When you let that stuff go on and just kind of you treat it like, oh, it's no big deal. It's just on the TV. You're making it look like that stuff's okay, and it's not. And you don't have to participate in fornication to make it look like it's okay. Hollywood glorifies it. And when you allow them to do that without saying something about it, you're really not doing much better. You're not doing anything better than they are. It's very common. Just because it's common doesn't mean it's okay. But anyways, the truth of Thanksgiving, it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you want to know, I mean, any age, you all should be interested in the will of God for your lives. Even a child, 10 years old, ought to be praying about, God, what do you want me to do when I get older? What can I do for you now? And if they're not, they ought to be thinking about that. But as we get older, even into our elder years, you ought to always be concerned about, God, what's your will for me in my life at this point? What would you like me to be doing? And what would you like me to do differently? Well, the pattern is this. If you pay attention to what God says in the little things, and he'll clarify the bigger things for you. I mean, there's bigger things like marriage, for example, getting married. I'm sure that if a young man is not slightly concerned about marrying the right one or the wrong one, he's going to be in a lot of trouble, amen? But you want to know. You want God's mind on things. You want God to answer your prayers and show you what to do. But a lot of the reason, the basis on which he'll do that is based on your obedience in the little things, amen? God says, hey, you show me that you're serious about what I want you to do, and then I'll be serious about your business. Amen? And this is one of those things. You say, but it's little. I know. That's why it's so important. God will test you and try you on those things, not so much the other ones. And the last thing is the treasure of Thanksgiving. The Lord Jesus Christ, He lived a much different life than the way this world lives. He lived a life of sacrifice and giving up things, and He did it all for the glory of God. You think about all the stuff that He gave up, but you know what? He never really gave up anything when you think about it. By our terms, by earthly standards, by the way men think, oh, He gave up everything. And He did, by our standards. But from a heavenly perspective, He didn't give up anything. He just gained, amen? Now, when He came down here, the Bible says that we know the grace of the Lord Jesus, that though He were rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. And that's true. But you know what? Someday when we're all in heaven, He's going to gather us all together. He's got all these children, these sinners that He saved, and just one big happy family in heaven. And we love Him because He first loved us, and He loves us. And it's like the story of the prodigal son. The only one that I know in that story that was upset was the brother that could not be happy for his father. I mean, he didn't have to care so much about his brother. He could just be happy for his father. Hey, good, you're happy. Amen. Now, he just could not be happy. But everybody else in the story, the Bible says, and they began to be merry. They rejoiced to be glad to be merry. You know what? That's how it's going to be. We're going to begin to be merry, and we're never going to stop. But Jesus Christ, all the good stuff that we enjoy in this life, and we as American Christians, we really get to enjoy, Bible-believing Christians, we get to enjoy some really great stuff that Christians throughout history, a lot of times, have never known anything about. But this is just a taste of what's waiting for us in heaven. And just imagine what it's going to be like when we get into heaven and realize that it's forever. It's going to be real good. We're going to look back at this life and say, man, I wish I did more for Jesus Christ. And whatever you did do, you're going to be glad that you did, but you're always going to wish you'd done more because you love Him. The treasure of Thanksgiving. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Jesus' pattern was to forsake the things of this world. Don't make a big deal about it. Jesus Christ, when it came to being rich and the things that we love and the things that we esteem very highly, comparatively speaking, He was blind. The things that the world loves to listen to, comparatively speaking, He was deaf. That stuff didn't mean anything to Him. His eyes were on heaven. He said, I'm just down here to help redeem a bunch of sinners and get them out of Egypt, amen? We're not here to make this world our home. That's how Jesus Christ lived. And you know what? Someday, eventually, it's all going to materialize what He did and why He did it. And same thing for you. If you want everything in this life, you can get it. If you want to get bent out of shape because God doesn't make things comfortable and whatever for you down here, that's You know, there's a lot of people that do that. And it's not right. That's not the purpose. The purpose here is for you to glorify God and to earn some rewards in heaven while you still have the chance. And in just a few moments, I mean, seriously, in just a few moments, we're all going to be in heaven. It's all going to be over. And then the only thing that matters to you at that time is, what did you do here? So Jesus said this. He said, if any man will save his life, he'll lose it. But if any man will lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's, he'll find it. How can you do that? Just by simply acting by faith when bad things happen in your life. Through the scriptures, through the Bible that you've learned and seen since you've been saved, you have a little bit of an understanding about how God does things. He's going to try you. He's going to test you. I heard people say, I always feel like God's trying me. He's always putting me to the test. I said, you're exactly right. But that was his reason for not wanting to live for God. I said, God's just giving you opportunities to earn some rewards, and if you don't take the chance while you have it, you're going to miss it. He's not doing it to prove you wrong. He's doing it to give you chance after chance after chance. The Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. If you're anything like me, you have fallen flat on your face many times, trying to give God the glory. God, I want to serve you. I want to please you. Boom. Fall flat on your face. Next thing you know, you catch yourself murmuring and complaining. Man. It does. You get disappointed. You get tired sometimes, but that's okay. Anything worth doing, you're going to get disappointed with sometimes. Anything that you do, you can see a better way to do it. But if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And the Bible says it's supposed to be a sacrifice. So does it bother you sometimes, the situations God puts you in? Does it make you uncomfortable? That's not a sign that something is wrong. That's a sign that something's right. You're supposed to deal with discomfort. You're supposed to have difficulties. You're supposed to be able to have times where you can't see how things are going to work out. That's how God operates. He puts things in your life for that reason, so that you'll trust Him, patiently wait, and allow Him to take care of things in His way. When it's all said and done, He'll get the glory. It's really, really important for us as believers to exercise our faith, to put it into practice, and make that sacrifice. The sacrifice is very important. David, for example, I'll close with this illustration. David, he sinned one time and did something very bad, and God was punishing the people of Israel for it. He killed 70,000 people. And he said, Lord, these people didn't do anything. I did it. It was my fault. And God said, He gave him some conditions, and after all that, he said, I want you to go make a sacrifice at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And so David was going. Ornan met him and said, here, I'll give you the threshing floor. I'll give you my oxen. I'll give you the threshing instruments for wood. You can have it all. I'm just going to give it to you. And David said, no. He said, I want to pay you for it, because I'm not going to offer the Lord anything. It doesn't cost me something. And listen, each time you feel that pain, that discomfort in your life when God's doing something that you don't really care for, what it is God, He knows what He's doing. He's giving you an opportunity to suffer a little bit for Him, because that's how you prove your love. It's not when things are easy, it's when they're difficult. And so, just like David, we can all say, I don't want to offer something to God that doesn't cost me something. I realize this is uncomfortable. This is tough. This is hard. It could be even worse. But you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity. I'm going to pass this test by God's grace. I'm going to give God the glory, and I'm going to praise Jesus Christ through this. The Bible says that you're offering up spiritual sacrifices to God, and although you can't see it by faith, it means something to the Lord, and it's going to mean something to you when you see Him. The only thing you're going to want to see someday when you step into heaven, into His presence, is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's not a guarantee that He's going to do that. But take this matter seriously. Take it carefully. If you're not handling it right, consider. Maybe you're not willing. Maybe you're not obedient. The Bible says the life of Christian is a life of repentance. If you're not repenting every day, something's wrong with you. You're not paying very close attention. But the Bible says after you repent, you can dust yourself off, get back up, and try again. Amen. I want to encourage you all to do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to these people. I pray that you'll speak to every heart. Pray that you'll touch them in a special way, help them where they need it, and encourage them to just be thankful and be willing to give you thanks. Lord, we owe you everything we have, and we thank you for giving us everything you've had. Help us to be willing to make whatever sacrifice you have in mind for us, that we might please you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.